the people. In the hustle and bustle of our daily lives, perhaps we haven't stopped to notice the changing landscape of our cities, of what is around our home when we look out of the window. With the advent of new technology has come, of course, the ever-present cell phone. But with the cell phone has also come the pretty commonly present cell phone tower. For a few years now, there has been a raging controversy as to whether these cell phone towers, and indeed whether cell phone use, is a health hazard. Now the government, while still arguing that there is no conclusive evidence to link a serious health hazard to the cell phone towers, has brought forth new radiation norms. On We the People today, we discuss these new radiation norms. Is India meeting the globally required health standard on cell phone towers? Let me start, if I may, with the Telecom Secretary R. Chandrasekhar. Repeated questions in Parliament have been asked on this subject. You've heard the concerns of activists, of health bodies, of people who've suffered themselves. The government has continued to argue to this, even after an interministerial committee was set up, that there is no such conclusive evidence. Yet, you have decided to go ahead with radiation norms. So, if there was no health hazard, why did you change the norms?
From the point of view of the government, there were three things that we looked at. Number one is the international norms. The second is scientific studies. And the third is apprehensions and perceptions, which have to be taken into account even if they are not validated or substantiated by scientific research at this particular point. The earlier norms were in accordance with what the WHO has prescribed and what the International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection had laid down. And in fact, they were reiterated also in 2009. And many countries have reduced the norms, again, based on these perceptions, not based on scientific evidence, because the scientific information pool is global.
So you're responding to public concern. You're not convinced of that public concern, but you're responding to public concern.
Yes. And the norms which have now been announced are more stringent than 90% of the countries globally. We have also, together with the Department of Science and Technology, initiated a set of scientific studies.
Yes.
So that these precautionary norms can give way to whatever is appropriate after the scientific studies are concluded.
Can I just interrupt you there? Because the argument has been made that something that is not conclusive doesn't mean that it's false. It just means that more work needs to be done on it. Is the government acknowledging that? That we don't know and we would like to lean on the side of caution?
We would like to lean on the side of caution. But let me also add one more thing. If the issue is of enforcement and mandating it on the ground, then simply raising the norms is not the answer.
And therefore, there also remains the question of illegal towers, which actually come up in many places and have nobody really monitoring them. And that point is taken. Juhi Chawla, if I can bring you in this capacity on the show today, you are really here as an activist. Because you, along with many of your neighbors in Mumbai, fought long and hard to have cell phone towers removed from the vicinity of where you lived. What first got you concerned?
When you say activist, I find that a new term for me because I'm really just an actor, and then I feel I'm just a very normal person reacting to this whole situation. It all began about 2.5 years ago when just opposite our home, we live in Malabar Hill. Opposite to us is the Sayadri State Guest House. One fine day, we suddenly see about 14 mobile phone towers on top of the terrace. Their terrace is on the 6th floor, my balcony is on the 5th floor. And my husband looks around and he says, you know, Juhi, this is not a good thing. So I was like, what? And until then,
you didn't know anything about it.
I didn't know anything about it. He said, no, something needs to be done. I think we should research this. Now, when somebody says that, you do get a little alarm. Ke kya ho gaya bhai? So we started looking into it. At that time, some articles had started to appear that, you know, there can be health hazards due to these towers.
Yeah.
And then we came across an agency. They came down, went around my entire home with their machines, all around my balconies. The needle seemed to go beyond what was the maximum point on their machine. That kind of got me wondering what is this. Now, in the report, when I open it, it says standards ICNIRP, ideal, weak, strong, extreme. Extreme, greater than 2000. in my entire house on the outside, it was beyond extreme on their reports. I said, now we have something to go by. Also, I have to tell you this because it's interesting. When these people are leaving my home, they said, you know, we wouldn't mind going to more homes. I asked them how much they charged. They had charged about 35,000. I said, most people cannot afford you.
And you were eventually successful in having those towers removed, right?
Yes, but after a long time, I wrote to the Ministry of Urban Development. We wrote to the Environment Ministry. Another friend suggested write to the Chief Minister, so we wrote letters there. But nothing really happened. Nothing moved.
And you've made a really important couple of points. One is, can every home really afford to go out there and pay 35,000 rupees to be tested? The second is, how does a layperson decode a division in science? But let me take this to Rajan Matthews, who is here representing the Cellular Operators Association of India. I think what you're hearing here is what many of us may feel, but the industry has continued to argue that this is a figment of somebody's imagination, that there is no health hazard. What it sounds like to a lot of people is how the tobacco industry had first reacted when people said cigarette smoking can cause cancer. And for years, the all-powerful tobacco lobby said, not at all. If, sir, science is not conclusive, how do you know that cell phone towers are not a hazard?
First of all, you know, it's like the argument that what you see is reality, right? And so Galileo looked around and said, listen, the world is not flat. You know, the sun doesn't rotate around the earth. And we use scientific methodology to look at things that we perceive and see what is reality. So I think we look at it from a science-based technological point of view.
What has your science told you?
What is not my science, what is science, period, which is practiced by credible organizations like WHO and ICNIRP, which basically tell us that the standards that were adopted in 2008 by the government, and the government did an extensive study adopted by 90% plus of the global countries, that is the safe standard.
Can I interrupt you just to understand a point? You have said that science empirically makes the argument that cell phone towers do not pose a health hazard. But science actually only tells us so far that it cannot empirically be proved one way or the other. So aren't you quoting science selectively here?
Not so, because in any area that we practice, right, we can never prove a negative conclusively. We take our best shot at in terms of saying, let's use the best methodology that is available. And this is the point that you raised vis-a-vis the tobacco issue, And I believe that's a bit of a red herring because, you know, it's been 30 years since the methodology that was adopted to show the effects of tobacco versus today. You know, we've deciphered DNA.
No, therefore what?
So therefore the methodology and the science that we have today to come to the conclusion that there is no conclusive evidence to show that there's any health hazard is pretty viable.
So you do not agree with what the government has decided to do, to reduce radiation by to one-tenth of what it used to be?
It's like asking, do I beat my wife or not? So let's answer the question. to the point that Mr. Chandrasekhar raised, we had previously said that the measure of safety that was adopted by the government was safe. And in response to public concern, reduce it. We said it was safe. It's still safe. And there's no evidence to show that this is any safer than
this. But
that's
just a long way of saying you don't agree with it.
No, it's saying is that no. It's a point of saying is that what is agreed or not agreed is not the point. Saying is what is safe is the point.
So you're sticking to your stand. And Juhi, if you're hearing this, no conclusive evidence, what would you say?
No conclusive evidence.
I mean, you must have been told that many times when you were fighting, right?
Yeah, but now I want to start the whole questioning all over again in a different sort of way. Yeah. Is there a doctor?
There are many doctors here. There are many doctors here. Dr. Gokhani, you are on record saying you do believe that there is a link. There are other doctors here who don't agree.
I look at it at a very basic level.
Yeah.
The ionizing radiation is the X-rays and the radiation that we use for cancer treatment and so on. The X-rays and radiation has already proved that it has a DNA splitting effect. This has been proved beyond doubt that it can be harmful, as well as be used as a tool with a lot of care in the treatment of diseases. But non-ionizing radiation has a thermal effect, and that's the reason why we use microwave to heat our food. Yeah. Now, it's a very interesting analogy and a relationship between the cell phone and the microwave, that when microwave was introduced to lay public, it had been extensively researched for the effects of microwave radiation on the consumer. But not much research was done on the microwave radiation on the food.
You're saying actually that the kind of radiation that emits, according to you, from a cell phone tower, possibly, even with the new norms or with the old norms? Even with the new norms?
The norms come in as the second okay. chapter. The first thing is to understand the primary problem with this.
And you're saying it would be like, it would be sort of like the effect on food of a microwave oven, only many times higher. In a sense, you're saying yes. That would be the effect on the human body.
You see, the microwaves, they make a molecule vibrate.
Yeah.
And it's the same reason when you use a cell phone, or if you stand in the cell phone tower shadow.
But here's my question, sir. And that question is this, that if indeed cell phones and microwaves are possibly dangerous, do we impose those kind of stringent restrictions on ourselves when it comes to them? Just parking that thought. But Sanjay, if I can just ask you, I know it's a difficult moment for you, because just to tell the audience Sanjay's story, Sanjay's from Jaipur, found cell phone tower clusters in his neighborhood. A family with no previous history of cancer, then found that two of the three brothers were diagnosed with cancer, and Sanjay recently lost his brother to cancer, and Sanjay himself is now battling cancer. And Sanjay, I know it's difficult to talk about it. You've just experienced personal loss. You're facing the cameras because you have fought and battled for this cause. What people here would say to you is, what makes you so sure that the tower was the cause?
I'd like to tell Mr. Matthew that I also believe in science. And after what happened in my family, when I studied reports from eminent scientists like Dr. Hyland, who was twice nominated for Nobel Prize, and he said it was radiations were a health hazard. Then you had Dr. Neil Cherry, an eminent epidemiologist, biophysicist. He reviewed 600 studies worldwide and came conclusively found that this causes oncogene activity, which is the cancer cell. You see, I didn't go to a Jyotishi.
Meaning you weren't being irrational.
Yeah, exactly. And then I see, 9 years ago, these cluster of towers are put 3 yards away from my bedroom, 5 yards away from my brother's bedroom. 9 years later, I end up with cancer in March. 4 months later, my brother is diagnosed again with brain cancer, which is not a hereditary disease. Then my dog, who's playing in the garden near the tower, dies of tumor. So you see, I heard Dr. Matthew, in one of your earlier shows, with a smile saying these are anecdotal stories. Now, these are not anecdotal stories. These are things happening to real people, They are real people dying. I have a brother who died. And plus, even anecdotal evidence, when it reflects scientific studies, should not be taken lightly.
Can I get Rajan Matthew to quickly come in there? When you say anecdotal evidence to somebody who's battling cancer himself and has lost a brother, it seems like you're dismissing his individual narrative. And I ask you again, if science hasn't proven it one way, has it really proven it the other way?
Yeah, Barka, all my sympathies go out. And when I say anecdotal, I don't say that anecdotal in terms of lack of real happenings. But for every one person that suffers, I can show you 1,000 that hasn't suffered who lives in the same vicinity. And there are 1,000
Sanjay,
who
would you
outside.
Like to respond to that briefly?
I'd like to show you 100,000 people that smoke and don't get cancer. That doesn't mean that a lot of people have got cancer, didn't get it from smoking.
Yeah.
So argument doesn't stand.
Yeah. Mr. Chandrasekhar, I think, it's an emotional subject and we are trying to separate reason from emotion while not undermining anybody's loss. I think that's what Mr. Matthew was saying. But there is an interesting counter-argument made indeed by Sanjay. What is the level of research that the government has done on this? I mean, it seems a little vague for the government to say, well, I don't think we're fully convinced, but chalo, aapko thoda dar lagta hai, toh hum norms change kar dete.
This research is not only in India, it's happening all over the globe.
But even the WHO has acknowledged that there's not enough data, but it's trying to get that data now.
It's trying to get that data, precisely. Yeah. So therefore, the fact is, even if there is an apprehension, sometimes you do have to take precautions. The problem is, when you start taking those precautions on the basis of apprehensions, the next question comes, where do you stop? Today we have said 1/10 of the existing norms.
Yeah.
Tomorrow somebody can come and say, hold on a second, why not make it 100? The second point I want to make is, one of the really big difficulties that the government faced in taking this decision was the fact that we go to experts. The problem is, when you look at these experts, the question which comes is he your expert or mine?
Yeah.
And some of them also either peddle instruments which measure, or services, or antidotes.
Why should it change the credibility of their argument?
I will tell you. I think I would always have take an opinion given by somebody who has a commercial interest in the answer to that question with a little bit of a pinch of a salt. And that's why the two-step approach of saying take certain precautions and at the same time scientifically validate.
Professor Girish Kumar, the point being made that many of the scientists who are analyzing this data and studying it are also now helping people measure radiation and providing a commercial service. The argument being made here, Professor Kumar, is that somehow that takes away from the credibility of their argument. You are among those who have made the argument that these cell phone towers are a health hazard. Your daughter is among those who does help people measure radiation in their homes. Your point here, because you've also advised the Interministerial Committee.
ICNIRP guidelines itself says very clearly that these are only for short-term exposure and
absolutely
not for long-term exposure.
And we have shown it time and again to Dr.
I think let me speak and then he should not interrupt in between.
He's saying it's absolutely false what you're saying. So we'll just. He's saying it's absolutely false what you're saying.
No, that is not false at all. I'm a professor at IIT Bombay. I teach technical things and a person who is talking about science doesn't even know S of science actually. He doesn't have any science degree. So let's not try
and
to.
He doesn't have any biology background and
yes.
He talks about biology effects.
Yes.
So let's be wrong.
Okay, let's focus.
Yeah. So ICNIRP guidelines are actually, it is written it is for short-term exposure and not for long-term. And these are only for 6 minutes per day. So what is good for 6 minutes cannot be good for 24 hours. In fact, I had given Mr. Rajan Mathew a challenge in front of the Mr. Kapil Sibal himself. That if you say ICNIRP guideline of 9.2 watt per meter square is safe for 1 year, 10 year, 100 year. Then please stand in front of your own tower where we do the measurement. And if you succeed without any problem for 10 days, then this Professor Girish Kumar will never ever talk about cell tower radiation.
Okay.
So why don't they take that challenge?
Okay.
It's very, very simple.
One minute. We'll come back to you, Rajan. A quick rebuttal, then Dr. Yeah.
The head of ICNIRP stood up in a public forum here in Delhi and told Dr. Girish Kumar, this whole issue that this is only for 6 minutes is absolutely wrong. He was told this
but
by the head of ICNIRP.
But one thing I do agree with Mr. Chandrasekhar on is that one of the things that is confusing is how divided the experts are. And I want to start with you, Dr. Dang. You see many patients come to you. And there are all kinds of illnesses that never used to exist before. But many of these could be called lifestyle diseases. And they could be blamed on us. And therefore, I'm going to ask a contrarian question here. That while we advocate against the cell phone towers, how much do we try and cut down cell phone usage? Well, I'm just asking the reverse question. That is it easier to blame something tangible than to blame ourselves?
It goes both ways.
Okay.
Every day, I see people suffering. I run a diagnostic center. There are times that once in a while, we used to get a positive malignant case. And my staff or my colleagues would rush to me and tell me, sir, we have got one malignancy. But certainly, in the last few years, I've been seeing the incidence of malignancies grow. We could blame it at one time, like something like cigarette smoking, like what he quoted. Ultimately, the industry has acknowledged, the government has acknowledged that they're carcinogenic. 2 years back, I read a report which, to some extent, implicated the radiations coming from there.
So what are you saying? You're
saying... I started asking my patients.
Yeah.
That where do you stay? I've got a patient here with me, the cutest little kid, the mother is sitting out here, and one fine day, she just comes to me with normal fever, and I find that she's having malignancy. My first question to Ramani was, the mother, are you staying anywhere close to cell phone towers? Her answer was, just 2 houses away. And that's how this whole story started.
Okay, Ramani, you have a 7-year-old daughter, Risa, and she's been diagnosed with leukemia. Have you been able to conclusively figure out what caused this, or are you just too busy battling to even decode this horrible tragedy?
So when it all started, when she got diagnosed, I was too traumatized. You know, all of us were, and I blamed it on many things. I thought maybe I did something. You know, you go through the motions. This happened, that happened. And one day while sitting in my husband's office space, I looked out of the window, a giant tower. And I don't know, like when you started the show, you said, oh, we don't even notice it. Mm. And it's true. I've been living in that house for the last year and a half. I went out and I saw the tower. I was really, really, really upset. And then I go out, I turn left, I see another one. I look the other way, there's another one. Is that what caused it? I don't know, but it could have. No? Can you say for sure it didn't cause it? You know, I would hate this on any parent or anybody around here, but just like you said about the tobacco, that it took 40 years to prove. So are you going to wait for 10 years, 40 years, 30 years? And
so you're saying you don't know if the towers caused it, but you don't know that they didn't.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what we're saying. I don't know what caused it, but well, it's right there, and there is even if it's just conjecture, it's right there. The government can't wash its hands off by saying, oh, well, you know, there's a perception, so we are working on it.
They've reduced the radiation norms. Does that make you feel better?
No, it doesn't. For the first, I don't really know what is the appropriate distance. What is the distance a tower should be from your house?
Can I get Mr. Chandrasekhar to come in there? Because that is moot.
In fact, I have been asking this question time and again to all our technical
people. And we don't know, right?
But let me tell you, the reason there isn't a straight answer, because I've posed this question to get exactly that answer, saying, tell me straight, what's the distance? The answer is that there are many variables. Number one is the number of dishes. Number two is the distance. Number three is the direction. Number four, if you're at the same level. A number of these cases, which are of a really troublesome nature, it would appear that these towers have been installed contrary to accepted practice, which is that you can't install a tower which faces into somebody's home. This is not allowed. It wasn't allowed even with the old norms.
So it's not the norms of how they're being violated.
That's why I mentioned in the beginning that norms is one part of it. Enforcement is another part of it. Secondly, the way that this whole thing is done is that the norms are laid down by the DOT, but the permission to set up towers is given by state governments to set up a tower.
But sir, these are lives, and if they're lost in the maze of bureaucracy between center and state, I don't know that it would comfort this mother of a 7-year-old today who's battling leukemia. Now, Dr. Kohli, doctors have a tough job. What you have to do is offer hope, and when no hope exists, say, no hope exists. And sometimes a doctor can't tell you what causes it, nor can the doctor tell you how to stop it.
The way to establish causality is epidemiological. You will randomize, let's say, 5,000 people who smoke and 5,000 who are given dummy cigarettes without tobacco. And it's randomized. And at the end of 5 years, you'll find what is the incidence of lung-related diseases. So what I'm saying is, evidence for a new drug or a new toxin is established first by in vitro experiments. So don't think that we are inventing the wheel again. We might like to polish it up a little. We might like to change the diagram.
We don't know all the answers.
But when it started,
we don't know all the answers. We don't know how many things
are carcinogenic. We know the answers by a huge study, which is known as the Interphone study.
Yeah.
Conducted about over 88 countries. And the results were just out. And they said that they do not have conclusive evidence as to the effect that it causes cancers or anything more hazardous than that. I do have a lot of feeling for my patients, because as you cure a disease, you also cure the feelings. So for that matter, I'm very much with Mr. Kasliwal. I might sympathize with him. But when it comes to science, we have to take what are facts. Now, the Interphone study was conducted not because India was very concerned about it. It was conducted because the Western world, which actually came into this much earlier.
And
on the other hand,
science
does respect these opinions. You know, WHO classifies it as carcinogen 2B.
Yeah.
Why? Not because it causes cancer, but because we don't know that it causes cancer.
But when we don't know, what should we do?
The two norms they brought in. One is the American norms, which is 1.6 watts per gram of tissue, considering that 1 gram is under exposure. If you ask me how was that arrived at, they tell you, we didn't arrive at it. We just thought that this would be stable enough. So they started, and it worked. The European norms are 2 watts per gram of kilogram of tissue, considering that 10 grams is the exposure.
Yeah.
If you want to compare the European, you can only compare with the European, because they think that the radiation will go to the eye, to the cheek, and the bone. So they take 10 grams. And the Americans feel it only goes inside the acoustic nerve and the eardrum.
What do people do?
People do nothing. They buy phones and they're fine. Only thing is,
they buy phones and they're fine, but we don't believe we're fine.
I'm just saying is that when this happens, there are huge studies which are done.
So hang on.
I want to be that person who questions, because I feel like I must be like a lot of people who get muddled with all numbers.
Yeah.
The sad part about this radiation is that it cannot be seen, it cannot be smelt.
Yeah.
If at all, it can only be felt.
Yeah.
So I say, when I am holding that phone with 1.6, first let me tell you that I looked at a report which kind of enumerated Samsung, Nokia, the specific absorption rate, which already exist in those phones.
Yeah.
And I found that anyway, none of them was more than 1.6. And when I'm holding that phone, whether it's a Samsung, a Nokia, or
I think
an
the
iPhone,
new norms ask for those levels to be reduced as well, if I'm not wrong.
No.
Do they ask
no,
for the radio?
They,
no?
They're already less.
Yes. They're already less.
They are already what is going on.
Let me first take this to Dr. Anupama Huda, who's an oncologist. I think what she says is what I feel too, that we get lost in the muddle. Now, the SAR levels. Now, we can barely understand in simple words, we say, how much radiation is your phone emitting when you hold the phone to your ear? Juhi's point is that if she believes what she's reading, the phones are completely safe. But you're not convinced that they
are. Yeah, but that means they were already at that level. And today you're telling me you have said that it will not be more than 1.6. You know what? They anyway are not at one. And yet my experience with my phone is my head starts to heat up. I get nauseous.
My question is, we're reading. Do not talk on the phone for more than 4 minutes a day in some articles. In other articles, it's half an hour. What do doctors advise their patients to do when this happens?
So here is what I get asked very frequently. Question number one is, do cell phones cause cancer? And as the discussion that has already taken place, there is no conclusive evidence that cell phones increase the incidence of cancer. Because there is a certain baseline incidence of certain cancers that we expect from populations.
But when Dr. Dang says that the levels of malignancy have increased, that whether or not you can connect it to cell phone towers or something else, the levels.
I think there are multiple reasons for it. It's not just the cell phone tower.
But could the cell phone towers be one of the reasons? That's the question.
We don't know. Based on the studies that have been done so far, there is no conclusive link.
Can I get Sanjay in there? Sanjay, the thing is, you know, I often say when we go to meet a doctor or a scientist, those of us who are not from either profession, it's like surrendering your life in the hands of God. What do you say to yourself?
As I said earlier, I strongly believe in science.
Yeah.
And I'm going by what a lot of scientists have said. There's Dr. George Carlo, who headed a $28.5 million research funded by the cell phone companies. And then he came out with a report which was against what the cell phone companies were saying. They tried to suppress the publication of his report. And he told the cell phone companies not to follow the tobacco route, which they did by buying signs, falsely telling people there are no adverse effects of tobacco.
Can I get another perspective from Mumbai today? Prakash Munshi, you're also an anti-radiation activist now. You're Juhi's...
No, I'm not an activist.
You're not an activist. None of you like this word somehow. But it could be argued, sir, that it could also be the diesel fumes on our cities. It could also be the pollution. It could also just be the way we live. That the way our cities have now evolved... Maybe it's no one reason.
See, I have seen in the past, say, since I have joined hands with Juhi, that we have seen so many case studies in Bombay City within the vicinity of our residences.
Yeah.
Take, for example, Usha Kiran and Vijay Apartments, where there were cancer cases. Yeah. There is right now a case at Babulnath, where there is Prempuri Ashram, where antennas have been put up like flowers in a flower pot. And if these cases is not enough proof, then may I say, what is proof? Mm. They say, can you prove it? I say, can you disprove it?
Mm. So, and we're stuck there. I do need to take a break. I'll come to you after that, Professor Kumar. Quick question to you. Your child is 7 years old. At some point, she's going to grow up and say, why did this happen to me? What caused it? Do you worry that at that point, you'll have to say, you know, I don't know?
It's, you know, it is a thought that comes to her mind, and she has a young sister, and she still asks me, why me, and why do I have it, and why don't you get it, why don't you get it, you know, and it's a question that is going to stay with her. Well, unfortunately, the doctors don't have an answer to that. The government, well, is a little condescending, I have to say, and they completely say, well, the norms have to be implemented. I think as citizens, we really need to take a call on it. I have a neighbor right across. When we sort of brought it up with him, he removed the tower in 10 days. A simple conversation with him, and he was scared.
But so in a sense, it has to be a citizen's initiative.
Absolutely.
Well. Now, here's the question. If science's jury is out, how long, as Mr. Munshi says, are we going to be locked in this debate? There's no proof one way or the other. We'll take your questions after the break. On We the People, we're debating whether cell phone towers are a health hazard and are we safer after the new radiation norms that have in fact said that radiation should be one-tenth of what it used to be. Before we go back to our panel, let's take some questions from the audience. Yes.
Is it that the chromosomes, like, you know, they're present in dominant or the recessive form, which takes a source from the of radiation from those towers and cause cancer to the people?
The question being raised is, you know, it could just be your genes. Let's, Malika, you be... What,
you said the government has made the norms
one-tenth of what they were.
That means that the radiation is now going to be one-tenth of what it was. That is not the case.
Mr. Chandrasekhar, could you clarify?
The point is that the safe limit has been reduced to one-tenth. As far as the
So radiation is not going to be less by one-tenth?
No.
Radiation is not going to be reduced to one-tenth of what it was.
Correct.
But what is acceptable has been reduced to one-tenth of what it was.
So on paper, the numbers have come down, but the radiation that was happening earlier is as it is today.
The bar has been lowered for what is acceptable to one-tenth, 10% of what it was. Right?
So is that less radiation or not?
It means, according to our estimate, 5% of the towers which are currently there are not within that safe limit.
Which means number 95%
number were already there.
My understanding was that radiation would now be less. There is going to be no less radiation.
No way.
The radiation, even if you have a lowered norm, it's quite possible that there are many towers which are
Okay, so we have a little bit of clarity now.
But
you
our
are
understanding, there are 450,000 towers in the country. 5% of them would need perhaps to be relocated.
So I correct myself. Many of these are in cities. So I correct
which are
myself.
Crowded.
It is not radiation that's less by one tenth. It is the safety norms that are less by one tenth. Here's a resident of Delhi who spent a long time also campaigning against these towers. What would you like to say?
Basically, for the people who are living on the ground, these numbers mean nothing. Because when you look out of your window and you see a cell phone tower staring at your face, you are scared. And then you're thrown into this milieu of politics and paperwork and MCD regulations and things like that. So I'm saying to you, why do we have them in residential areas? What are we doing about the unauthorized ones? People are walking around colonies, offering a lot of money to people who are unaware. First of all, I went to the park and I asked people in the park, what does a cell phone tower look like? There were 10 around. Some of them thought they were fax machine towers.
And you want to add?
We clearly have a situation where the radiation levels are extremely high in India compared to the other Western countries. What is the cost of coming down to the level which is suggested by the very developed and very advanced countries?
Professor Kumar, would you say that for any cell phone tower to exist in any residential area is a health hazard?
Definitely, it is health hazard depending upon the power. But before that, I want to just answer one or two very quick things. Its statement was made, let me just say, Interphone study. It actually studied 5,000 brain tumor. And they said very categorically that half hour use per day increases probability of getting brain tumor by 200% to 400%. It is there in the Interphone study. Let me give you all the places here epidermal study have been done. It has been done in Austria. It has been done in Israel. It has been done in Germany. It has been done in Brazil. They said that increase in the cancer cases over few years, if the radiation level is greater than, please listen that carefully, 0.001 watt per meter square. What we have adopted today is from 9.2 to 0.92.
Can I just
I'm
take
not
this
coming to that point.
1 minute, Dr. Kohli. How do we make sense of conflicting service?
Well, it's out, it's known to everyone. The conclusion of the Interphone study is this. Let me go one step further. A recent Japanese study where people had brain tumors, they went and did the radiation levels inside the tumors. And they did not find it higher than elsewhere in the brain. The last question.
Yeah.
Have there been any litigations all over the world on this? Could you answer that, Professor, for me?
There is litigation, Sanjay Kastriwal. I think in Jaipur, the Rajasthan High Court is now talking about cell phone bylaws in the state. Rajan Matthews, why does a cell phone tower have to be in my neighbor? These numbers really make no sense to anyone.
Why does it have to be without any municipal permission? Why do they have 50% of the mobile towers in Bombay are illegal, according to the media report?
Barker, there's many issues that have been raised.
Yeah.
But let me just point you to an article that was written by Mr. K.S. Parthasarathy, former Secretary of the Atomic Energy Regulatory Board in India. And he reviewed Dr. Kumar's report, and he says a classic example of biased and unscientific study, where he takes apart everything that Dr. Girish Kumar talks about.
Oh, but so, those are disagreements between two scientists. I'm asking you a citizen's question. Why does a cell phone have to be in my backyard?
Because you need cell phone coverage. In an emergency, when your child wakes up at 2 in the morning and needs to call a doctor, you need to be able to do that. When you want your person, right?
Okay.
What do you need?
Mr. Matthews.
7 years.
Mr. Matthews, Juhi, I'll allow you a brief rebuttal, then I'll take questions here.
What strength of signal does my phone need to work?
Your phone can work depending upon the location of the cell tower. It is again a variable.
I'm all right,
so but sir, I'd rather not have a phone than have a tumor.
That's a false choice. It's a false choice. All right, you can have good health and you can have a cell phone.
So I come back
right?
to my question. Ideally, would you concede that cell phone towers should not be in residential areas? I'm asking you a simple question.
Let me give you a thing. I've worked for 25 years in the US where I have personally cleared cell towers in residential areas on top of hospitals, in hospitals. And let me tell you,
let me just get a few questions here.
Today, mobile phones have killed landlines. Was that really important? I mean, you make it expensive. Why do mobile phones have to be so cheap? You're talking about making a phone call at 2 in the morning if something happens to a child in the house. A landline can do that job.
Exactly. Yeah, listen.
This is a luxury.
Okay. You are very comfortable sitting there.
1 minute.
The poor arm
my dear
on the
sir,
street
my dear
doesn't
sir,
have that luxury,
minute.
Sir. It doesn't have
room,
that luxury.
1 minute.
You know,
in this room
you can
there
sit
is
here
1 minute.
You are well enough. You are well enough to do it.
Okay, hang on. The genie's out of the bottle. Mobile phones are here to stay. Even your sabzi wala has one. But you make it is a very valid point. Now, here's somebody who actually put a cell phone tower on his chat. Why did you do that?
Let me explain. This was in 2001. I'm a gadget freak, I should say. And the MTNL line, which used to come all the way to my house where the internet was so slow, I got irritated. And somebody said, we'll put a cell phone tower up here. I said, damn good, I'll get a pure bandwidth for my internet. We knew nothing was going to happen. At that time, I'm also a conscious citizen. I've been on the RWAF Defense Colony. I've been the vice president earlier. I said, no, we must get every permission. We must do everything that is necessary, needed for it. I've dug my own grave because I want to remove the tower now and every permission is there. So I'm scared for myself. It's a piddly, measly little amount of money which I get because the roof is lying empty.
Exactly.
But I'm scared about my family. I'm scared about my health. And I've openly said, please remove that tower.
Dr. Huda and Dr. Dang, I say and many people would say that if it's the choice between a health hazard and a cell phone, we'd all want to crawl back into the dark ages. But the fact is that's not going to happen. There may be no established link, but I remember somebody once saying that, you know, if you have a certain kind of noodle, they're carcinogenics. If you put fear in somebody's mind, they will be perennially scared. Then no science can convince them that they're not at risk.
So I think you have to live on a precautionary principle, and that's how WHO has described and designated use of cell phone. Why do we have to use cell phones 10 hours a day? Let me ask all the people sitting in the room.
It's a good question.
Why can't we
make
wiser, healthier choices? And like cell phone companies are not forcing them to use cell phones 24 hours a day.
So you're saying we're also responsible for the choices we make. Dr. Dank?
Anupma, you're one of the leading oncologists of Delhi. How many lung cancer patients are smokers and how many are not?
If not every lung cancer is linked to smoking.
But smoking is supposed to be one of the predominant or one of the most important factors?
Yes. But there are many other reasons why cancer happens.
My case is here. Because you said that, yes.
So there are two sides to a point.
There can be many, many different causes for the same thing.
So
we can have
radiation causing cancer.
Let me try to take this to Dr. Gokhani. Dr. Gokhani, there's the question. How do we find that balance where we don't live in irrational fear and yet we are able to isolate what is really dangerous? I read a long article saying that the bhutta roasted on the coals is potentially carcinogenic. I have not stopped eating it.
But we've been talking about cancer all the time. And cancer is, of course, the ultimate disease.
It's
a disease which is caused by the shattering of your immunity.
Yeah.
But before you shatter your immunity, you damage it. And therefore, there's a host of other diseases.
Yes.
Like you have neurological problems like memory lapses. We may have forgetfulness, which is very common nowadays. Sleep disorders.
Yeah.
Likewise, you may have reproductive disorders. PCOD. Every alternate girl in the urban environment is suffering from PCOD.
Can I just take a few more questions before we go back?
Yeah, we are living in defense colony.
And we were absolutely normal citizens, which is now I don't move without this radiator machine. We sleep in the drawing room. We've got this horrible 3 or 4 towers right opposite our house.
I'm too scared to even test it.
We've got cancer on the left. We've got brain tumor on the right. We've got a Nehru hospital.
And then we are told that no, nothing has been proven. Do we all have to die before we prove something?
Exactly. Yeah.
And now he's saying 4G is also coming. He says only 3G, now 4G is also coming. You'll all die in any case. This is the attitude they have.
Mr. Chandrasekhar, there seems something wrong with the image of a cell phone tower in residential areas, next to schools, next to hospitals. You might say, no, they're overstating it, but they're saying, do we have to die before it's proof? You started by saying the government had responded to that public concern, but what about the illegal towers?
Obviously, this would require not only enforcement by the local bodies, but it would require people also to be aware of what the norms are and what the rights are. These norms have now been made available and put on the public site, and we had insisted and made sure that these norms are intelligible to a layman. If I have an apprehension after looking at this, then there is a reporting mechanism which has been put there where the official agencies would be able to go and measure it.
No, even the official agency he's talking about came and they always say, oh, it's below the radiation level. And yet our machine shows high.
Mr. Matthews.
You are using a measurement device that was sold by Dr. Girish Kumar. That has been
tested.
Listen, let me finish. So therefore, I'm saying is that get it tested in terms of somebody who's qualified to measure the safety level.
Mr. Matthews.
All right, so that is
Mr. Matthews.
Okay,
Mr. Matthews, you have said that you do not accept the findings of a device sold by Professor Girish Kumar, but you haven't explained why.
Because, you know, it has been not tested and clarified by the bodies that certify that measures.
Mr. Matthews.
Yeah.
I had TORM, which is an organization of DOT, measured the readings. They went to Haji Ali. 20 different towers are there, and their police inspector came to one of our demonstrations and said, Mr. Munshi, we are supporting you because our dear policemen who cannot stand there for more than 7 days duty, they asked for a change in the place. Yeah. When Tom came there to Haji Ali with Mr. Milind Devra, they measured it. It was 86 milliwatts per square meter. They came to Sayadri and it was some 40 something milliwatts per square meter. And I asked them, there will be no health hazard to me. We cannot qualify it.
So we come back to what people can do. But let's take a few questions. We have to start taking last comments and solutions.
Let's face it, we cannot stop using cell phones, but it should be an individual trade-off we make as societies. You want limited disconnectivity or you want a safety in your health?
Okay, let's take a question here. Yeah.
The way that we do for Pulse Polio program and for other programs, why can't we do and generate more awareness for it?
Joey, you wanted to come in there? Yeah.
Today, you have phones being sold cheap. My dhobi, my driver, my maid, everybody is carrying a cell
phone. But is that a bad thing?
No.
Do they know
what is SAR? Do they know what is radiation? When we are saying let people make choices, please educate the people. Why with a cell phone am I not being given SAR values are so-and-so? And what does it do? Because a lot of people
are the new norms going to make that mandatory?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
In fact, putting the SAR values on the mobile phone, which is sold, is mandatory.
Okay, I have something else to add here. When you say SAR value is 1.6 something something, what sense does that make to my maid? Give
do
me
not
the meaning.
Use this beyond this
do
point.
Do not use this beyond 6 minutes.
Do you really think we're going to talk 6 minutes a day on our cell phones? Is that?
Then today we are selling cigarette packets with things saying
statutory warning.
Let's make it that way. You say, here's a phone. Listen, you talk for 3 hours. You are responsible.
I think the only two buildings which are safe in this country to put the towers are one is the Adarsh for Bombay and the Parliament for New Delhi.
But Dr. Kohli, you're saying that even though you're not convinced of the causality.
Yes.
I'm not convinced of the causality, but I think in the Parliament they listen you better if they have the towers right
on top. All right, let's take a question here.
Yeah. I have a solution. Being the youth, we are very gadget freaks. We sleep with our mobile phone just next to our pillow. Yeah. We can actually avoid it. We can be a smart user.
It used to be that the tooth fairy used to come to under your pillow. Now it's a damn cell phone. All right, let's take a question.
I just bought a phone today. It gave me earphones with it, so we could use that.
Are the norms now going to say use the earpiece preferably to talk or a Bluetooth device?
The norms are only about the SAR values.
Yeah.
There are guidelines which are also made available which say that to avoid prolonged usage,
which are
meant for the
where,
education.
Sir?
I agree.
Which are available that, where?
which are available on the website.
How
many people access the website? Ask Juhi.
I agree. In fact, creating awareness is, I think, the biggest issue.
I would say start advertising and telling people this much of protein is good for your body, this much of cell phone use is good for your body.
And cell phone towers.
We should make it mandatory for all the cell manufacturers to have just the speaker phones.
We do need towers, we do need cell phones. There's a lot of unused land. The government has DDA land, you know, which lies obsolete. Why can't we just build concrete towers, you know, where 40 feet, 50 feet high? As
doesn't the industry need to do a rethink?
No, absolutely not.
No rethink.
No.
Just regulation.
One minute. Mr. Matthews, I really thought we would have convinced you at the end of this 1 hour.
Regulations. We need the regulations. That's
Barka, listen.
Mr. Matthews, would you want to see cell phone towers outside your home, and how many do you have?
Exactly.
Burka, you're talking as if I live in an area which doesn't. You know, whether I have it right outside my house or not is not the particular issue at hand.
So it is.
It is the issue.
No, let me ask. The issue at hand is what the government and the DOT has indicated are the safety limits for location, for distance, and for emission. Those are the criteria.
Okay.
You ad nauseum about everything else.
Mr. Munshi.
One very important factor which is missing in the norms is the power transmission of these antenna. Yes. Because I can have 20 antennas, which I have got from COAI themselves, that a cluster of 10 to 20 antenna can transmit up to 800 watts. Yes.
Okay. Dr. Dan.
Kya ye sahi hai ki mere desh mein बिलो पॉवर्टी लाइन के लोगों को सिम कार्ड फ्री दिए जा रहे हैं और ये किसका डिसीजन है कि खाने के लिए अन्न नहीं है और यहां पर हम सेल फोन के सिम कार्ड फ्री दिए जा रहे हैं.
मिस्टर बी के सिंगर फॉर्मर सीडीएम ऑफ विदेश संचार निगम लिमिटेड हैज सेड दैट द ऑपरेटर्स डू नॉट वॉन्ट टू इन्वेस्ट इन इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर व्हिच लीड्स टू all these problems.
That's what I asked, yes. Mr. Matthews. He denies it.
Mr. Munshi, you are talking to the industry that has invested the largest amount of investment.
Okay, but everybody's had their say. I am giving you the last word here. What do you take away from this show?
The use of mobile phones is here to stay.
Yeah.
It's not something that we can wish away.
Yeah. What about towers?
If you want to have coverage in a particular area, then obviously you have to have an antenna somewhere nearby within the vicinity. If there is a residential area which can be covered without having a tower within that area, certainly that should be the first preference.
Well, I'm going to end by only saying that some of the narratives that we've heard here, the accounts, are truly frightening. Yes, there may not be empirical evidence that links point A to point B, but equally, as I think mothers and brothers have made this point on this program, there isn't evidence to cancel out that assumption either. We need more sensitive, more urgent interventions. It cannot just be left to a person to log on to their website and fight individual battles. Thank you very much, everybody.